podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
So, here we go. It's the Cop Hype Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cop Hype Podcast. It is one of the big fixtures of the season. It's Liverpool versus Man City, or Man City versus Liverpool, if you want to get really proper in the way the fixtures are organised. It's at the Etihad Stadium. It's Sunday. It's Jay. It's Mick. And we've got Sam Halbert back on the show, our dedicated City fan. Sam, how are we, mate?
I'm actually really good, bro. How are you?
Really good, bud. Keeping well, mate. Glad to have you back on the show.
Oh, pleasure to be back on the other side, even though we are on the other side. Hopefully you can see Manchester in the background, wherever that is. You
know, we've got a bit of the bright lights, mate.
The Manchester correspondent.
Mick, you all right, pal?
Yeah, all good, mate, you?
Yeah, good, thanks, buddy. Well, Sam, listen, mate, I want to start with yourself. We'll just go through a little bit of how City are at the minute. You know, currently sitting 10th in the league, 11 points. They've got 11 points so far. You're actually 2 points worse off than you were last season, which obviously doesn't seem that much, but obviously there's 8 places between where you were in second and now 10th this season. 3 wins, 1 loss against Saints, 9 goals scored, 8 conceded, 2 clean sheets. Nice cheeky little 1-0 win over Sheffield United.
Yeah.
For years. How are you feeling so far given the start that you've made?
Well, take the Leicester game aside, I think we've changed the way we are. Take that Leicester game out of it. We played Eric Garcia. I mean, how he's not out the door, I'm not sure. But take that one out of it, and we conceded the 5 goals. Then we're actually looking all right. We're not at our free flowing best, but we actually look for the first time since Roberto Mancini, we actually look like we can defend, like better defensively than we are going forward. I'm actually quite happy where we're up to at the moment, because we're actually building from the back for once in our goddamn lives. So that's good enough in itself. We've got a clip going forward at some point. Obviously, the goals that Sterling will bring, he'll score 20 goals. And if we can get Carroll fit, which is a big if, he will get 20 goals. Gabriel Jesus, he'll get 20 goals. And then Mahrez and Bernardo, that sort of thing, KDB, they'll tip in with getting on for 10. So goals aren't really a problem. We've just got to click into gear. Plus the fact is that a couple of those stats are misleading, to be fair. I mean, we've got a game in hand on that as well. We win that. Yeah. We're 2 points off top. I mean, it's a big if again, but we beat you. Hey, we're top. You know what I mean? It's which way you want to look at it, both ways.
Of course it is, mate. That's exactly what I was just about to say in my next question, because I was just about to say you can look at them stats from a Liverpool perspective and be like, ha, 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 City are where they are. But like I said, if you get to the crux of it, they've got a game in hand on us and they win on Sunday, plus you win your game in hand. You're back where you were, you know, a couple of years ago. So it's no mean feat, really, is it, to say that Sunday? Is it too early in terms of title race? It's massive, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely huge, to be fair with you, because I actually think that, I mean, at the start of the season, Pep said that whoever wins the title is going to have at least 90 points. Well, that's going to go out the window. Absolutely no way is it going to be 90 points. You have to get. I mean, because he's saying that second place will at least get 90 points, whereas that isn't first might, but second definitely won't. It's because of the amount of injuries that people are getting, muscular injuries, in and outs. You're missing your back line. We've been missing up until now our forward line. I mean, you think of it. I don't see it the way that it is. It's going to be absolutely massive, because those points are really up for grabs at the moment. Whereas beforehand, oh well, we'll go on a 10-match winning streak at this point. Can you really see that happening? I really don't think so. I really don't. So yeah, massive game on Sunday for that reason.
Yeah. And Mick, Sam made a good point just with about the way the defences sort themselves out a little bit this season, into, because obviously City were missing that massively last year. But obviously, there's a caveat to that, where the forward line isn't performing as well as it did last season. You know, again, it's early days and that, isn't it? But given the fact that Liverpool obviously are depleted at the back, the amount of injuries, how are you feeling going into the game on Sunday?
It's always a big game, isn't it? Especially away at City's ground. But it's the 8th game of the season, so it's still early days. Like, there's got journalists saying, Is it Arsene Klopp, is it a title contender? It's just like, come on, that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it, when you think about it? Like, it's too early doing that, but no, nonetheless, still a huge game. But I'm worried about our defence. I just hope Joel Matip's is past fit. Obviously, he was in the squad for the last game, so if we can get Matip and Gomez as a centre-half pairing, and then the usual other three, Robbo, Trent and Alisson, I'm going to feel a whole lot better coming up against Jesus, I think it is, isn't it? Up top, I think Aguero's been ruled out. So if we've got Mata back in there, then I'll feel 10 times better. That's pretty much the end of it. If like we touched on before we started, if Fabinho was in there, I'd feel a lot more better. But obviously we're missing Thiago as well. So in terms of midfield and defence, if we've got Mata back in there and the usual guys in the three, maybe plus Keita in there, I think we should be okay. It's gonna be goals anyway. It's always a tricky game, no matter that who's playing for City and who's not. There's always fireworks, isn't it? So I look forward to it.
It is, mate. And I was just looking at the fixture history here. You know, in the last six games at the Etihad, Liverpool have only won two, and one of them was in the Champions League on that famous night for us. We don't travel well to the Etihad, Sam. But you know, we said before we recorded, didn't we, that it's the same for you. Like, you don't travel well to Anfield, and you haven't done, I think, you know, since 2003. And does that instill you with a little bit of confidence how well City perform against Liverpool at the Etihad?
Oh, yeah, it gives us confidence. Of course it does. I mean, last year, I mean, let's take that one out of it. I mean, I predicted Desmond Tutu last time, and it ended up 4-0, was it? But to be fair, though, you were on your holidays, weren't you? I mean, let's be honest. If any City fan comes into this going, oh yeah, we beat you 4-0, so we're going to do it again this time, I mean, that's stupid. I mean, a proper representation of what both teams can do would probably be the Champions League second leg, which you ended up sneaking in the end, and also the one we ended up sneaking in the league 2 years ago. They're a much better representation in terms of like what both teams can do and how they match up with each other. It does give us a little bit of confidence, of course it does. I mean, if this was Anfield, to be honest with you, I'd have rather it been Anfield first game of the season, no fans in, because then at that point, there's a possibility we could play with our fans there. And I think that with this fixture more than any, as I said before, and fans of both sides actually really make a difference. And that's sort of like akin to the rivalry that's been going on as well. I mean, beforehand, literally, we have 17, 18 home games a season where we're dead quiet, and then we have United. Whereas now, actually, I would say that United are almost that second-class citizen in terms of that atmosphere that we bring to it. So I was hoping it'd be that way around. But yeah, we've got that home advantage in inverted commas, so hopefully we can take advantage of it like last time.
Yeah, and Mick, are you feeling the same? Because at the Etihad, we don't travel well, so obviously the way you'd have the confidence at Anfield, is it going to the Etihad, you think, would you be happy with a draw?
I'd take a draw now if you offered me, but obviously, like we touched on, the players that we're missing, I think any Liverpool fan will say we'll take a draw because we're missing Van Dijk, Fabinho and Thiago, who are three of our key players. So if we go to the Etihad and end up sneaking a win, I put a tweet earlier that that's a huge marker we've laid down that we can survive without those fellas in there. So in terms of going to the Etihad, I'm glad there's no fans in there, but I don't think it's that dynamic with the Etihad. It's more going to away to City and up against Guardiola and coming up against always a strong City side. I think that's more it. So I don't know if it'll have an effect in terms of the result if there was fans or no fans. I think Anfield's more of a, we rely on that a lot more, the support that we get from Anfield. So I am glad it's the return leg at Anfield later in the season. So hopefully we might see some fans at that point.
Sam, we've got just one a question from one of our viewers at the minute, and it's from Martin Barney. He says, from a City perspective, who is Sam most worried about in the Liverpool side? Mane, Salah, Bobby or Diogo Jota?
If you're asking me which one I would take in a heartbeat, it'd be Mo Salah. I actually think he's, and this is strange coming from me, I actually think, despite the media attention that he does get, I still think he's underrated. I think he's an absolute killer. I think he is he takes advantage of every single opportunity. And I have friends who are Liverpool fans that actually probably don't rate him as much as they should. You should be absolutely thanking your lucky stars that you should have him. You should never want to wish him away. Honestly, that guy is an absolute killer, and he's the guy by far that I'm most worried about. Mane's been brilliant, don't get me wrong, and Jota has been brilliant in midweek. Bobby Firmino, I think, is a bit that nips them all together, and again, I think he's a bit underrated. But to be honest with you, Mo Salah, every single day of the week, if he is out, I'd feel so much better. I think actually to combat that though, from a City perspective, I actually think he'll play Cancelo at left back, which is actually sort of something that we've never had before, because we had Angelino at Anfield and we had Mendy at our place. They're both attacking fullbacks, left footed, and just go up the wing. Whereas this time, I think because obviously Salah trips in field onto his left foot, Hello, it will come onto his right foot, his stronger right foot, as he just said. So I actually think that that will be used to actually nullify him. But for me, Salah, hands down.
So if, because there's been a bit of debate between a lot of Liverpool fans over the past week in terms of the lineup, because obviously we are very blessed up top, and we have been for the last couple of years. But adding Diogo Jota into that mix, as you know, we thought, oh yeah, he's generally going to be a backup to the front three. Whereas last few weeks, or maybe since he started the season, he's been absolutely fantastic, and he bagged a hat trick in the Champions League, and we're expecting big things. And a lot of people are saying he should start instead of Bobby Firmino. If he does start instead of Bobby Firmino, would you feel, oh well, Bobby's not playing because he makes the other two click, or are you thinking, shit, Diogo Jota's on form at the minute, he could easily bang in a couple of hits, because he's got experience against playing against City, hasn't he?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's not like he's in a completely new league and needs that time to bed in. But I think it's the first point you made. Bobby Firmino is the one that would really, really, really scare me. If those front three lineup as they supposedly are, then that for me is a lot worse than putting Diogo Jota in there. It's not that I don't rate him as a player, but again, he's just a very good replacement in all three positions. He's not starting in any of them. It's just that if you get an injury or you need to rotate, he is a brilliant replacement for any three of those positions. But as you said at the start, I still think he is that replacement. Front three, if it was me, would stay exactly as it is, and that is the worst case scenario for us. I mean, if you play as it was, I just don't think he clicked quite as well. Against lesser teams, more firepower the better. Yeah, great, play four strikers, whatever, you're going to still beat them 6-0 and someone's going to score. But against a team like City that just need that little bit of intricacy to pick them apart at the end, Bobby Firmino, for me, would be the one I'd be worried about.
Mick, do you agree with what Sam just said there? It's got to be Firmino.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he got rested in the week, didn't he? And you also obviously banged in a boss hat trick and played really well. But I think it was the Sheffield United game where all four played. Was it? I think it was, wasn't it? And it didn't. That's going to take a bit of work and a couple of games against the lesser teams for that to maybe come to fruition into the bigger games. But I'd be very, very surprised if Jurgen Klopp picked Jota ahead of Firmino. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, obviously, because Jota's banged in at Atrick and played really well, and man of the match, obviously, that he should be starting and he's in form, and people are saying you should be picking the form player, which I understand, but Bobby Firmino is like you said, Sam, he's the guy who can, in the final third, he's got that creative ability and intricacy in the passes where he can drop into the hole and find space in between City's backline and midfield to try and pick his off. So I'd be very surprised if Klopp picked him. But it is a shame for Diogo Jota because he's played so well. He's got, I think he's 7 goals in 10 games so far for Liverpool, which is just absolutely crazy record when you think about it, when none of us in our wildest dreams thought he'd come in and get those kind of numbers that early. I mean, we all imagined he'd be better than a bit slower than he has as well. So it's a testament to his ability overall that he's came in and pulled those numbers out and got the goals and assists he has so far. So I imagine he will start on the bench though and maybe come off towards maybe 60-70 for Firmino.
Yeah, depending on how the game's going. I see what you're saying. Sam, from a, you know, obviously we're on a Liverpool channel, there'll be Liverpool fans watching thinking, how can we get at this City side? So one of the comments that we've just had is, City still haven't replaced Kompany in my eyes, not only one of the best defenders, but a true leader. Do you agree? So we thank Ian Thompson for that comment there. So you did say, obviously, at the beginning of the show that your defence has got better, but how are Liverpool going to unlock City's defence? How are we going to get at you?
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, it was all about the Bobby Firmino thing, whereas beforehand, what it was is if we were playing someone like Otamendi, he was really rash and would follow a player like Firmino out of the back line. And then at that point, then the diagonal runs from Mane left to right, Salah right to left, and that would fill in the hole there. this time, to be honest with you, I think if we play Walker and then Diaz, Laporte, and then Cancelo, I think we are solid. Can you score against us? Of course, you can. A bit of magic, of course. I mean, you've seen the Fabinho goal last year, the game at Anfield, and you've seen a couple in the past as well. I mean, you've seen Salah do stuff like that, that Chelsea goal that he did, where he hit it on the volley from 30 yards and pinged it in the top corner. Doesn't matter how good your defence is, sometimes with players of that quality, he can just ping it in the top corner. Cancelo, is he the best fullback in the world? No, he's better going forward. He's actually a very, very adequate footballer. I think he's actually a very good footballer. Fullback, oh, maybe not, but up against Salah, because he is coming from the right to the left, I think he might do okay there because he's playing onto his strong foot. Let's say if somebody like an Adama Traore would have gone down there and oh, his pants, as in someone taking outside, he turns the wrong way, and that's because he's on the wrong side. So you might even see Mane possibly even line up that side, or you might see Trent Alexander-Arnold would be right up against him on the side. And to be fair, if that's the case, Trent might be the one to unlock it. If he gets past the fullback every single time and Cancelo comes inside with Salah, which I'd anticipated to happen, I think that really could be the way to do it. But I like the way that Ruben Diaz looks so far. We're conceding a hell of a lot less than we did last year. I mean, it wouldn't be hard, but take the Leicester game aside. He looked good, and people are saying in the background that he's a true leader. And again, I mean, that in itself is good enough for me. Have we replaced Kompany? Possibly. But if we had Kompany in this game, would we have a better chance of winning? Oh, absolutely. The guy, legend. And, you know, I think he is my favourite City player of the past 10 years or ever, really. So, yeah, I can't say that City's been replaced fully. But do I have faith in Laporte and Diaz? Absolutely. And Walker's been on fire as well. He's even been nominated for Player of the Month as well in the Premier League. So that itself says how good Kyle Walker's been in a slightly more inverse position as well defensively. So, yeah.
Yeah. And Mick, it proves, doesn't it, the fact that we said before about City, if they beat us on Sunday, they've got real motivation then because they've got a game in hand where they could go top of the league after that. So we're not playing the City in 10th, are we, technically? I mean, obviously, on paper, we're playing a City side who are in 10th, but they're going to be right up for it. It's just as much as we are to stay top of the league, aren't they? It's not going to be an easy win, or, you know, it's going to be difficult if we want to win this game.
It's going to be business as usual. Like, I've just looked at their last start 11 against Sheffield United, Walker, Diaz, Laporte and Cancelo. So, that's, like, Cancelo's really surprised me in terms of how good he is as a footballer. Like, I was surprised. Obviously, he was at Juve, wasn't he? So obviously, he's got good pedigree there. He came to the Premier League and he's doing quite well. If Salah comes up against him, I think Salah, if Salah's on his A game, he rinses any fullback in world football for me. It doesn't matter who it is. So, like, in terms of Cancelo being a right footer, comes Salah coming up against him, then yeah, that might favour him, but I think he's just too strong and too fast for anyone. And it's if he's got a bit of fire in his belly, like he has the last couple of, well, since the season started, really, especially with the game against Leeds, he's looked absolutely terrific, and he looks like he's got trying to beat his goal scoring feat so far. He looks like he's got that in his sights this season. He wants to go on and better it. But no, it's always going to be a difficult game. Like, you just look at the midfield, like De Bruyne, Rodri, and Bernardo Silva, and Mahrez, and Sterling. Like, there's a possible goal anywhere. Like Sam was saying about us, that's the exact same for City. So you can't dismiss anything. Like, they've got quality all over the pitch. All it takes is one De Bruyne pass from halfway line for Sterling, and then through, and they can score. So that's all it takes, and that's. That's why I think it'll be cagey, and I think it probably will be a score draw. That's what my head's saying anyway. My heart's saying 2-1 Liverpool, but I do think it probably be a 1-1 score draw because we do kind of cancel each other out because there's quality all over the pitch. Like we said, we're missing a few key players. Whether that will maybe be a factor remains to be seen. But if we go there and do sneak a win, like I said earlier, it'll send out a real statement that we can go on and retain this league, even without missing key men, and obviously getting Fabinho and Thiago back in the coming weeks. That'll make us a lot stronger.
Yeah, And Sam, I want to pick up on what Mick just said there in terms of how the season's gone for Liverpool. And it's, we always, when we get a rival fan on here, we always like to see their perspective of it, because obviously we have, you know, opinions on what other clubs are doing and all that, because you've got to at the end of the day. But given that Liverpool are, you know, top of the league, in the Premier League, the top of their group in the Champions League without conceding a goal, considering the injuries that we've had, you know, getting battered against Aston Villa, us Liverpool fans are surprised that that's happened, that we're top of both both respective competitions. From your perspective on how Liverpool have done with that early injury to Van Dijk, Fabinho coming out, are you surprised just as much as we are?
No, if I'm totally honest with you, not even slightly. You know why? Because you've got something different about you that we don't necessarily have. I think that what you guys have is that ability to score on exactly the 85th minute. Just when a team decides they want to go at you, what you do is you love to deflate them at the exact correct time. And then at that point, that just kills them off. It was like the Diogo Jota goal. I can't remember what team it was, but he scored in the 85th minute just to kill off the game. Yeah, exactly. You have that innate ability to be able to do that. And that, for me, it will come up a time, like maybe against Villa, where, I mean, to be fair, that's a freak result. I mean, I wouldn't want too much out of that.
Someone was in the water that weekend, wasn't it? When you got battered and United got battered. It was like...
It was just one of those where, actually, you know what? It hit the peak of the point where, actually, pre-season, lack of training, injuries, all just came up into one point where just teams could have just fallen apart. And as you'd seen from, three of the biggest clubs in the UK, is the fact that, you know, we all conceded five or more in the same weekend. I mean, like, come on, what's all that about? I'm not surprised. I'm really, really not surprised. I know your Champions League group isn't the hardest. I know ours isn't the hardest. We're top of that as well. Take that aside, and, you know, obviously we win our game in hand. There's only 2 points between us, despite the fact that, obviously, what's happened to us with having no strikers. We've only had, like, two games with the striker so far this season, and you've had, obviously, the Van Dijk injury. But the will of your team, and especially people like Mane, who drag you over the line, and Salah, who drag you over the line, I'm still not surprised that you've beaten the vast majority of teams.
Yeah, and Mick, Sam's just made a really good point there, that it's, I think it's, from our perspective, it's like, we did so well last season, and we didn't want the whole injuries to the players, and it was like, oh no, how are we going to cope? And you know what Twitter's like, and social media, how there's just the negativity just goes straight in. We should have bought a centre-back. We should have done this. And, you know, from a rival's perspective, Sam just made a really good point. He's not surprised. And, you know, I asked the question at the end of the day, but Sam makes a very, very valid point, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I think it's difficult because we want the centre-back, but who can legislate for a season-ending injury to your main fella? Like, maybe because we got rid of Lovren, is the case that we maybe should have signed someone, but the fact that we Santiago and then we can move Fabinho into centre half. It's just been very unlucky that we've had the Matip injury, the Fabinho injury, and then obviously the Van Dijk injury, that all in the space of what, a couple of weeks, that it's compounded it and it looks like a gaping hole there. So we've had to rely on 19-year-old Reece Williams and Nat Phillips. In the last game, we've done really, really well, but putting either of those into a game at the Etihad is going to be really tricky. I think I wouldn't wish it on them. That's why I'm saying before, like, if Matip's fit, he's got to go in there. And on the point that he's not being surprised with him, well, I think it's just the overreaction. I think it's just social media, isn't it? Like, people just banging the drum, oh, we should have signed this player, should have signed that player, wanting instant results. And if players aren't getting signed or players are getting injured, they want like a world-class player on the bench, and it just doesn't work like that. It's not like people think the real world's for like Footy Manager. You can't have like absolute quality running through every position on your bench as well without maybe upsetting the apple cart, and that's just not the way Klopp does things. Klopp wants a harmonious group who are all singing from the same hymn sheet, and not all maybe world-class, but he wants players who are in a good bracket who can come into the team in the future and fight for positions. And Reece Williams could definitely be one of them. Like, he's came out of nowhere, really, 19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
On loan Kidderminster last year, I think, and he's came from the youth, and he's done really well in the games he's been put in. So I'm not surprised we're doing well. Like, it doesn't surprise me, but it's just I want that security in numbers in terms of getting Fabinho back and getting Mata back, getting Thiago back, just because then we've got that security in front of the back four. Like, if we have Fabinho in front of the back, there's two centre backs, and it was Gomez and Williams, I'd feel a lot better about Williams being in there. It's just the fact that we haven't got him in there that we need a Matip in there just to let that experience rule, and then the midfield should look after itself if we've got him in there.
Yeah, it's perfectly said, mate. Well said. And Sam, you know all about this type of stuff, don't you? Because Kompany leaves, Laporte gets a really, really bad injury, and you can see exactly what it can do to a side. I mean, from a fan perspective, when watching that, was it just as effective for you guys to be watching it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, man, it happens, doesn't it? I mean, what more do you say? As I rightly say, you can't legislate for your best defender getting taken out in the first week of the season. You just really can't do it. And plus, the fact is, I mean, when people were going on to Twitter, I mean, keyboard warriors and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's at the moment, really, it's the bane of football, really, because it leads to reaction and things like that. But also, as well, imagine this. I mean, it doesn't matter how much money you've got. Imagine trying to get, Tottenham's a prime example. Imagine trying to get a striker to go, by the way, we know you're world class and you should be signing a striker, but you've got to play behind Harry Kane every week, so you're probably going to get the Europa League games occasionally in Ukraine. And then you're going to be playing Leighton Orient in the Cup. And they're like, oh, yeah, great, love it. You know what I mean? So that's part of the battle as well. And I think that people jump on the bandwagon a bit too much with the whole, oh, yeah, you should have signed this and that and the other. I mean, why? Why should you? I mean, you got 99 points last time. You've won the Champions League the year before, final the year before that. I mean, you probably should trust what's been done there. The process is clearly, there's clearly something working there. And that's exactly the same from my perspective in terms of like when Laporte got injured. It's like, well, okay then, that's great. But he's a 50-odd million pound player. Should we have signed another 50 million pound player just in case he got injured? I mean, what's all that about? And then have Otamendi sitting there never going to ever get a game. And we're paying him 150 grand a week. We paid 30 million. I mean, come on. Like, you've just got to be realistic with this sort of thing. You've been really in love with Van Dijk and Fabinho at the same time. But that's it. I mean, what more can you say? We've had Jesus and Aguero for the exact same time for 5 weeks. So it happens. And you know what? You've just got to get over it.
That's it, mate. And when you look at it this season, City have been going to be chomping at the bit because they want to win this trophy back. And when we finished on 97 points and we didn't win the league and we were all massively heartbroken, it gave us, you know, not just us as a fan base, we've been craving it for 30-odd years, but it gave that team, once we'd won the Champions League, it gave us right, this is the season now where we are going to win this league. We're going to come back stronger. Albeit, yeah, we didn't really add to the squad, but we came back with that fight for it. As a City fan now, given how the Champions League for you lot last season was probably a missed opportunity considering the way the format had gone and you had such a very, very good opportunity to win the Champions League and it unfortunately didn't happen for you. Well, unfortunately for you. Just trying to be polite there, son.
Just you don't have to be polite just because I'm a guest.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
But this season, Sam, is it you want this trophy back or is it just fucking get a European Cup? What is it that you want personally or what you think the club wants?
Again, as in last year, I mean, obviously I would have loved to have won the Champions League. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that I wasn't. Was I that arse because I couldn't go? That was the bit.
We spoke about that, didn't we?
And you know what? And the fact that I knew that I wouldn't be going to it, sort of took the shine off it, and we would have gone. Then there would have been the whole you had it over one leg, and then there's only one leg, and then this and that. And you know what? I thought, you know what? Nah, I would have loved to have won it just to say that we'd won it. Don't get me wrong, it's a monkey off the back, and then we could have rubbed it in everyone's faces, and we'd have had the best season of any English club, of any European club. Of course, we would have done. But because we couldn't have gone again this year, I think the club won the Champions League again for the prestige of it, to say that they could say that they've listed a European Cup, the amount of sponsorship deals that they could get out of that, the amount that they the investment would come directly from it, and the fact, you know, it's a monkey off the back. The Premiership though is your bread and butter, and that's the one that I would say we'd want to win back. Are we as desperate as you were last year? Just to sort of like go towards your point, I wouldn't say so, because we've still won 4 of the past 8 years, whereas you hadn't had it for 30-odd years. When we first won it, especially the FA Cup and the Premiership the first time, were we a lot hungrier to win it? Oh, God, yeah, absolutely, than we would be this year. Now, it's more about the rivalry with you guys, and just as much as anything else, the whole Klopp versus Guardiola, you know, like, who's got the better player? Is it Salah? Is it De Bruyne? It's everything about it. The fact that we win at our place and you win at your place is like, we're sort of nip and tuck with everything. It's a bit more of a rivalry, opposed to saying that, oh yeah, we need to be winning. We need to be winning the Premiership back.
Yeah, fair enough. Nick, with City, obviously, like Sam said, they want that Champions League trophy. Is obviously the one that's been missing. Under the new owners, it is the one trophy that they failed to win yet. Does that help us as a fan base a little bit, to have that in our minds, thinking they're a bit more bothered about the Champions League, so they might rest certain players at certain points? And because obviously we want to retain this bad boy, obviously, don't we? So
I suppose you could look at it like that, but I still think especially with us winning the league last year, they want to bounce back and reclaim the Premier League as well. So I don't know. It's hard to say. If we talked about it on the James Pearce one, didn't we? Like, is there going to be like a prioritisation of in terms of Liverpool and what we're going to go for? And I don't think you really can. I think you just, it's a bit of cliche, but you just pick your best team you've got for the game that's next, don't you? Like, I don't think these type of managers are going, right, well, maybe in terms of the FA Cup and the other cups like that, they might go, well, we'll play some of the youth players because we've got a bigger game coming up, which is probably going to be a Champions League game or a Premier League game. So it's just like, those are the two that we're fighting for. If Liverpool got both, I'd be very, very surprised, especially with obviously Van Dijk, the massive guy back there that we rely on so much. Him not being there, it's a big ask. If he was in there, we might have had a chance, but I don't think there's going to be any, I said, prioritisation from Guardiola's point of view. I think he's always wanted the Champions League, but he wants to get one over on Klopp, obviously, in terms of the Premier League and reclaim that back. So It's going to be a nice race, and I think it is going to be just between hopefully Liverpool and City this year for it. But I don't see anyone else coming into that picture just yet. Maybe Chelsea in a few years, but it's still going to be like Sam said, Guardiola and Klopp trying to get one over. Yeah. That's going to continue for the foreseeable, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we finish there, and before we get score predictions, I just want to go down memory lane a little bit. And Sam, putting you on the spot a little bit, mate. What's your favourite goal of the Liverpool City era at City at home? Because then we'll do the same when we go to Anfield. So your favourite goal or your favourite Etihad versus Liverpool moment? And Mick, I'll ask you the same in a minute so you get thinking.
Right, okay then. So, I mean, all right. I want to choose between two, because they for different reasons. One's really, really significant, which was the Sané goal. In where we won 2-1, which essentially galvanised us to go on that run to win the league. That was, take the Aguero goal aside, that is as much as I've celebrated a goal at the Etihad. It went absolutely balmy. But from a technical perspective, if you know, what was it, about 2014, 2015, Aguero scored from almost the corner where he went around.
Oh, yeah.
And then sort of scored from the tightest angle you're ever going to see. I mean, that one was the best technical goal because, oh my God, how the hell did he do it? As a moment, the Sané goal.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah, it's one that's imprinted on our brains.
I bet I can guess yours. It's got to be the Bobby Firmino goal in the Champions League. That's what I would have said first.
For me personally, yeah. I mean, it's that game, but it was more the Salah goal, because that was the goal that really did seal the away goal point, obviously, wasn't it? And that was the goal that we needed, because obviously it was such a nerve wracking game. Anyway, because going into the Etihad and you'd scored after a minute and a half, 2 minutes, and we were on the back foot in that first half, and maybe we're unfortunate not to go in at half time a few more goals down, especially with the one that had gone in, and it maybe should have been. Should have been counted, but yeah, probably that Salah goal that went, and that was like the relief was like, right, yeah, I knew we'd done it now, I knew we were through to the semis. But Mick, favorite Etihad moment or favorite Etihad goal, because there's not that many really.
Yeah, I'd have to say the Salah one. I was watching it earlier today, and it's just like even the moves great, and like Mane going through and then getting brought down, and then Salah's just there to mop it up and chip it over the keeper, and just the celebrations of all the players like that. That's got to be number one for me. That one.
Yeah, that's got to be one from an emotional perspective. Maybe from a technical perspective, Skrtel's goal when we beat them 4-1. Yeah. That was quite a nice strike from the corner, wasn't it? I didn't mind Daniel Sturridge's goal when he first signed for us. Just sort of collects the ball on the edge of the area, just pings it in the bottom corner. I just love the sound of the net pinging when that goal had gone in.
At this point.
Say that again, Sam.
Sorry, you're only allowed one. You're picking about 15 goals there, you know, just rubbing it in.
There's not that many.
Pick them all.
Painful memories, though, mate. I mean, that, like you said, we might have been on holiday after we won the league, but, you know, the Guard of Honour game and getting beat 4-0 didn't taste very nice. And I remember being in Carragher's bar in New York a couple of years ago, and it was like a 6 o'clock in the morning breakfast to an 6:30 kickoff in New York, and we got battered 5-0. That wasn't a nice memory either. So it's I'm hoping it's a very close game on Sunday, and hopefully we get a win. I'm gonna be bold and say we win 2-1. Mick, you still stick with that score draw 1-1? Was it?
Fuck it, I go 2-1 Liverpool.
Go on, fuck it. Sam, go on, mate. What are you going for?
Yeah, at one point I thought that was it, but no, it's not. 3-1 City comfortably.
Comfortable City win.
Yeah.
Fair enough, mate. Right, well, we will catch up with Sam again before the season finishes. If we can get you back on, mate, for the show after the game, fantastic, mate. We'll see Sam again for the Anfield fixture. Thanks for everybody for watching. Don't forget to give us a like. Let us know in the comments who you think should start for Liverpool up front. Who you think is going to score our goals? You know, hopefully we do get some. What you think the final score will be? And we will see you guys next time. Sports Social Podcast Network.